Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Well, day after tomorrow, will be the final Moist Line of 2022 on the John and Ken Show. So just a quick heads up to leave your messages using the iHeartRadio app. That's the little microphone icon, the talkback option there. Call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Well, what we're going to do now is talk to some people out there in the audience. A poll of 1,000 U.S. residents commissioned by something called Circuit Route Planner. I don't know, they follow traffic and stuff. A staggering 65% of drivers keep a weapon in their vehicle in case they need to defend themselves during a road rage incident. What are the most common weapons? Well, half said they have a knife. Just under half, pepper spray. 40%, though, said, I do have a gun, as you might have expected.
That's great. Yeah. And almost 40%, a tire iron. Almost 40%, baseball bat. 30%, hockey sticks. 30%, tasers. 14%, lacrosse sticks. Obviously, there's a lot of people who have three or four of these, because only two-thirds have a weapon, and it looks like if you add up all the percentages here, there's a lot of weapons in some cars. I guess some have nothing and some carry everything.
The poll found that, strangely enough, BMW, Hyundai, and Mercedes drivers are the most likely to keep a dangerous weapon in their car. Not sure. Two of those cars are kind of upper end, those makes. So
they probably feel their targets.
And, of course, most who answered think that the anger building up on the roadways is worst where they live. 39% of urban drivers believe road rage is worse where they live than anywhere else in the country. 53% still think urban drivers are just as prone to road rage, and more than half of rural and small town think road rage is just as bad where they live.
You know, I was thinking, are we designed really to drive cars in high-pressure situations where there's a lot of traffic and crowded highways with great speeds? Hmm. Like, are our nervous systems designed for this? Because, you know, we come out of caves. We lived out in open spaces, and we had a very slow life for tens of thousands of years. You just amble around, and eventually, you know, they learned how to plant crops and gather nuts from the nut bushes, and then you go chase animals, you kill them and drag them back. But it was all slow speed on foot, eventually on horses. And it's only recently that we had to learn how to drive cars, which actually, for the human brain, the primitive human brain, is quite complicated. And there are a lot of people who really never get the hang of it. We see them every day. But then you put the speeds, right? People are going 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. And then you're tightly compacted on a freeway. And the frustration of stop and go and stop and go. And the people cutting you off. It's like no wonder we blow. We're not supposed to be doing this.
We've all been angry out there, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a reason people get angry. People get angry when they're frustrated. And they feel that they ought to be moving all the time. I mean, I think because when you walk, you get to move as fast as you want to walk or run. You run as fast as you want to run. Same thing on a bicycle, on a horse, right? You generally can do it as fast as you wish. You get in a car, and it depends on how fast everybody else is going. And they never designed a city like L.A. properly, right? So we don't have, there's just too many people crammed here. And now they do everything to frustrate our driving.
Whenever I read stories about the horrendous road rage incidents in Southern California, they're usually like early in the morning where I think some people are drinking. And because you can go faster and you can cut in and out. See, there's road rage, I guess, during heavy traffic time. But I think it's more rare because there's not much you can do. You're driving 10 miles an hour and maybe somebody cuts in from the other lane. And you're like, what the hell? But I think it's worse, like 1, 2, 3 in the morning. That's when I often read shots are fired, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. people are drinking or they're drugged up, sure.
Well, let's find out what Eric Sklar has in his car.
I have a pocket knife for, realistically, that's just in case I get in an accident and I need to cut my seatbelt or break a window or something. Because there's like a butt on the end of it that I can break the window.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
And then I have a golf club in my trunk.
Ah, the golf club. And do you practice?
Yeah, I mean, I play golf regularly. Not regularly, but I have a set of clubs at home, but I have an extra one that I keep in the car.
And that's
that reason.
That's for protection, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And you've never had to use it?
No.
Okay. Never even came close to?
No, but I mean,
plenty of road rage incidents
myself. Like, people piss me off on the road all the time.
See, if I got attacked, I think I would just run them over with my car.
The problem is people often get out and confront each other, and that's where they grab their weapon.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
You're not.
I'm not confronting. They can confront. I believe hit the gas, get out of there. Nothing good is coming out of a confrontation. What am I going to do?
That's why most of the time you see road rage, the other person tries to catch up and tailgate you and flash their lights and cut in front of you and brake on you.
Oh,
that's very common. Right, because most people don't pull over to confront.
I've been chased a couple times.
I know you have. I remember those stories.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And all I did is I just kept going. And I even had a cop looking for me in the middle of the chase. I was trying to get away from another guy, and I guess I broke some law that the cop saw. And then I went driving around trying to hide from the cop.
You couldn't have stopped and said, there's somebody after me? Yeah. I'm glad you're here.
By this time, I had so much adrenaline pumping in my body, I was just in chase mode.
Too bad you didn't make the TV.
I know, like I was that close. All we needed was a helicopter. The helicopter.
I've heard this story before, that you were hiding from a cop, too.
I was, and I thought I had ducked into a suburban side road.
Yeah.
And the guy found me. I'm thinking, wow, this cop's persistent.
Oh, did he ticket you?
I don't remember. I don't remember. I think I told him I was getting chased by somebody.
Do you know who I am?
Never done that.
I'll talk about you. I know. You've never done that.
Although a couple of cops have recognized me, and that may have inadvertently got me out of a ticket, but
that could help, right?
Yeah, we're big in with police. So,
all right. So Eric has a golf club and a little knife there. What do you got? 1-800-520-1534. We'll take a couple of calls before we break to give people the idea of this.
I have a small nuclear device.
I have a bazooka.
So don't think of screwing with me, all right?
I love the word bazooka.
I got something that'll evaporate.
You're like Putin.
Yeah. All right. We'll go next. Take a break quickly. John and Ken Show, KFI.
Yeah, well, we're talking about this survey of 1,000 U.S. drivers. A big percentage say they keep some kind of weapon in their car just in case they have to defend themselves in a road rage incident.
You have a gun, a knife, pepper spray, baseball bat, tire iron, hockey stick, taser, lacrosse stick, or something else. And how many do you have?
Many possibilities when you think about it.
Valerie, you're on the John and Ken show.
Hey, guys.
Are you armed?
Yes. So I carry a Kubaton, two tasers, and pepper spray on me.
What's a Kubaton?
So a Kubaton is kind of like a metal rod with a sharp tip, and it's ergonomic, so it won't slip out of your hand when you're holding it.
Is that right? And what's that normally? Yeah. Is that meant to be a weapon, or is that for used for something else?
So it's meant to be a weapon, but it's legal to carry on you no matter what size it is, because technically it's not a knife, but it can be used to defend yourself.
You can stab somebody.
Yeah, you can poke somebody or just, you know, send someone off with it.
How long are they?
The one I have is about 7 inches long, probably.
I'm looking at a picture of it. Yeah, a self-defense keychain weapon developed by a Japanese company in the 60s.
Mine's on my keychain.
Did you get trained to use it, or it's just obvious what to do?
No, it's just pretty obvious what to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hardening the fist for punching, attacking. Oh, I see. That's provides you.
Go right for the neck. I guess you haven't had to use it. You haven't had to use it yet.
That's what I carry. No, I haven't. I've had to pull my taser out, but I haven't had to use it. So.
Well, who'd you pull your taser on?
So I had a guy following me around a store. It's really weird. So I just pulled it out and kind of showed, like, I have this, and he suddenly stopped following me. So, yeah. Just in case, you know, I don't know what was going on, but it was just really weird. So he stopped. So, that's good.
All right, Valerie. Thank you for calling.
The Kubaton can help you break a car window, too, if you need to. So,
yeah.
That brought back a memory. Really bizarre, too. When I first started working as an accountant in New York City, for Christmas in my stocking stuffer, my mother gave me like a little keychain. And on the keychain was this little plastic thing hanging. But when you hit, there was like a little slide button on it, out came a tiny little knife. And she told me, just in case, New York City.
So you could attack.
It was very small, but it could inflict damage if you got somebody in the eye with it.
So you could stab a tiny little.
I kept that for a while just because I was intrigued that she did that. It was a stocking stuffer. Right.
Maybe Santa did it.
I guess they were worried about me going into New York at night.
You'd be able to stab a tiny little criminal?
Trust me, it was effective. It was like a tiny razor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That I could gut you, John.
And you probably would.
Just really quick.
Kevin, you're on the John and Ken show.
Hey, guys. How's it going? You guys are making me laugh. You know, I've been carrying a gun. I'm 67. I've been carrying a gun since I was 21 in New York. And you know how New York traffic is. And I worked in an armored truck in New York. When I came to California, I joined the police department out here. I did 30 years. I still carry a gun, and I carry mace because it was an issue. I handled a call one time, and this young cadet from the sheriff's department, he was at a light, and he blew his horn at this guy in front of him, and this big guy comes out, and he took a tire iron, and he broke his window and broke the guy's nose. And make a long story short, we tracked down the guy, went to his house, and he was bigger than, you know, he's 6'8", big, strong guy, and I said, hey, you're under arrest. And we arrested the guy, but he was a parolee for murder.
Bro,
so you don't know who you're dealing with on the street.
Yeah, right.
So this guy was a big parolee. You know, he cracked the guy in the nose. He goes, I'm in the sheriff's academy. Said, no, you're a victim. Don't worry about that. But we're going to find this guy. So I tracked him down, and hey, we arrested this guy. And he had a rap sheet a mile long. And so that's why people should carry something. If you can't carry a bat because you can't get to a bat.
Well, now there are so many criminals out on the loose, and they're the ones who obviously have mental issues, right? They're gonna blow. They got bad tempers. Right. That's half the reason why they've been in jail, and now they're out on the loose.
But if they take that and hurt you with it, so you need something small, maybe a taser, a stun gun, or a taser, something like that. Yeah, or a pepper spray, a real thick ulcer resin, pepper spray. That's what you need. But it's something real small you can get to and take care of, you know, somebody right away without going in your trunk. Getting some golf clubs or getting a bat. That's going to take a while.
Yeah.
All
right. Very good, Kevin.
Yeah,
because
I was thinking the only thing I might have is like the tire iron that's back there, but he's right to try to get to your trunk during these.
You'd be long dead.
That's an act of Congress.
Yeah. All right, Kevin.
Take care, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks. Bye. Chris, you're on the John and Ken show.
Hey, John and Ken.
Yes.
What do you got?
I got a little aluminum bat. It's like behind the seat.
Oh, yeah, that's easy reach.
It is, and it has longer reach, so you can just reach over and bonk them on the head.
It's like a softball bat?
I like those little kiddie bats, like for like juniors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and literally they use metal bats now.
Right.
And yeah. I guess
it's not that long.
Have you had the pleasure of using it yet?
Not yet, but I don't know. I'm pretty sure soon.
I like the confidence.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time. We got a critical mass of crazy people out there. All right, Chris, thanks for the call. Danny, you're on the John and Ken show.
Hey, you guys. Love your show. I learned from my dad to always have something that you could break out of the car with. He used to carry a metal, like a little axe or a hatchet. I have actually a scuba knife. And it's really, I keep it in the glove box. It's pretty powerful thing. It's enough to cut through it like a shark or something. And it's got a real pointed tip, but it's also got a really strong back of it. So you could, it's almost like having a hammer on the back of it. So you could break the windshield and it's as sharp as a razor. So you can cut your safety belt off as well. So it kind of does both of those things.
See, Eric, that's what you need. You need what he's got. He's got a bigger version of it. And in case you ever get attacked by a shark on the road, you're all set.
There you go. There's land sharks. You know that.
No, I know. Right. I know. All right, Danny. Thank you very much for calling.
Makes me feel bad. I think the only thing I have in my glove compartment is a pen.
You could still stab someone with a pen.
Yeah, I guess you could. But the point. But I gotta upgrade here.
I don't have. I probably should.
Let me go
into
Amazon now. See what I can find. Better yet, the dark web.
Yeah, I don't have anything.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me. Does your wife have anything? She tends to be more on alert than you are.
I bought her something the other few weeks ago.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Just a few weeks ago?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, because she's likely to use it on me. That was my hesitation.
I just have an umbrella, but I'm gonna make change of that.
Well, you said you walk around with your little device when you're with your dog, right?
I do, but
is that your stun gun? I always forget what you have.
My stun gun, yeah, a taser.
Oh, you only have that for the dog?
One. Yeah, but you know what? I'm gonna get another one for the car, and I'm gonna get a couple other things too. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, driving around that convertible, you're very vulnerable.
Oh yeah, and there are a bunch of really mean people out there.
Is this a big umbrella or a little parasol, a dainty parasol?
It's not a dainty, but it's a small umbrella. That's all I have, but you know, I need to upgrade.
You're going to be able to fight off a guy with an umbrella.
Stop! Stop now, or I'll hit you with my pink parasol.
It's black. It's not pink.
What else? You have one of those fans that folds out?
I'll slap you in the eye.
I'll slap you with my fan. Michael, you're on the John and Ken show. Michael, you're on.
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Now we can.
What do you have?
Oh, okay. Great. Well, I got tools in my work van. Fortunately, I've never had to use those for any road rage incidents. But in my personal life, I carry one of two firearms. So I got two different guns that I have on me while I'm driving around and on my person pretty much at all times.
So they're on your person, too. I see. So you have to reach for it.
They're loaded and ready to go?
If I have to, I'd have a round in the chamber ready to go if I ever need to protect me or my wife's life.
Right, right. All right, now, are you carrying them legally or are you just carrying them?
Legally. I have a carry license.
Oh, okay. All right. I wondered how many people just bought a loaded gun and they didn't necessarily have the right to carry it around with them, but they don't care.
Well, I get to the point where you don't care when you see people getting beat up on the street.
Yes.
How can you care when your life is safe?
No, I agree. I absolutely agree. I think you got to do what you got to do.
Oh, yeah. Worry about explaining it later to a cop.
You don't want to have to explain it later or end up in handcuffs or anything.
Yeah. All right, Michael. Thanks very much for the call.
But the risks, you know, you take out on the road certainly outweigh the chance that, yeah, you're carrying something you're not allowed to carry. That's how I would look at it, too.
Yes.
That's, I think, how most people look at it.
Right? Well,
I'm not allowed to really carry this weapon, but you know what? Well, the chances of me being caught with it are low, and the chances of me being in a road rage incident are low. I don't want to be in that road rage incident without it.
Yeah, they're not enforcing most laws anymore anyway. Nobody's getting prosecuted, so.
Yeah.
You know.
So you're not going to tell us what you gave your wife?
No.
Do you have anything for the bunker?
You know?
Yeah, in case we try to get in there.
Or aliens.
Can you fight us off?
You know what? You're right. I didn't think of that. Because if I have the food in the bunker.
Yeah, we're coming for you.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to be able to fight you guys off.
Well, you won't have anything.
Deborah and I will come there with torches. We're going to get in.
I don't have anything vegan, Deborah. So.
I know. So forget it. I'm going to skip your bunker.
You're going to be out of luck.
You've got a big battering ram. We're coming in.
Did you see the lead story on Drudge today?
No, why?
It was a link to the Sun in London, and they had these huge photos. Putin was going through a nuclear loading practice routine.
Oh. And I saw that headline. Yeah,
these gigantic missiles they were practicing loading, and these were the missiles that were aimed at the U.S.
Yeah, they can reach us. I did see that.
Yeah, so he was making a point that this was...
That's what he's going to do on his deathbed, which could be soon.
Yeah.
He's going to launch and die.
This is his last act. More coming up, John and Ken Show.
Some days it feels like there's always more. Well, let's take a look at Sam Bankman-Fried, the latest on the FTX... Founder, of course, is in a lot of trouble. He was arrested Monday in the Bahamas. There was a report he was going to fight extradition, but now that seems to be turning because the prison he's in is really grim. So maybe to get out of there.
No vegan food for him.
And just it's a tough place, Nassau, Bahamas.
Yeah, he looks a little soft, I think would be a good description.
There's also a report that he... where is an MSAM patch? Do you know what that is?
Oh, I read this. It's some kind of a drug he's on.
Yeah, it's antidepressant. I have a prescription for MSAM and have for roughly a decade, he was going to tell the House committee. And apparently that's what it's used for, was to a depression drug.
Well, hey, when you go to prison, means you can't have your little MSAM patch. And you can't get your vegan meals anymore.
It has something in it called selegiline, which was originally used to treat Parkinson's, but eventually researchers figured out it could effectively treat depression. But it can also cause significant problems if the person taking it consumes certain food or drugs. There's a perpetual risk of a cheese reaction.
Of a what reaction?
Cheese. A chemical present within moldy cheese and other fermented food and beverages interacts with the drug in a way that it could potentially kill you.
Really?
So if you hear a commercial for this particular drug, one of the disclaimers will be, don't use with cheese.
I think I'd rather be depressed.
Moldy cheese. You can still eat fresh cheese or cottage cheese.
Yeah, I know, but you can't do a test to make sure.
You never know when you're going to ingest moldy cheese.
Yeah,
it's true.
That happened to me a couple of years ago.
Did you, were you sick?
No, I just took one bite and then I noticed something was growing on the cheese. It tastes good.
A quick reminder while we're here, tomorrow in the 5 o'clock hour, Naomi Seligman is returning to the John and Ken Show. She used to be the communications director for Mayor Yoga Pants Garcetti. She left the administration, and then she just could not sit and watch as his nomination to be ambassador to India was breezing through the U.S. Senate, because she knows he was aware of, if did not see, the sexual harassment that was handed out by his longtime aide, Rick Jacobs. So she joined up with the whistleblower organization in D.C., and they scuttled that nomination for these many months because it got the attention of some U.S. senators, including Chuck Grassley of Iowa, who said, I want to take a closer look at this. So,
and he came out yesterday, and he's taken the closer
fiery
look.
Fiery speech.
And made it clear, no way. No, right. You know, he's going to do what he can to block up the nomination and force it into a vote that Garcetti would not win.
Right. So we'll join with her tomorrow, and we'll see what she knows about the possibilities that this comes up for a vote this month before they recess, and then they have a brand new Senate.
Isn't Garcetti one of the strangest guys?
Yes.
I mean, of all the weirdo politicians that we've covered, like, he just stands out by himself.
There's a lot that's repressed there is the word I'll use.
Yeah,
I can
there
tell.
Is. A lot hidden, a lot repressed.
And there are reports that he's had some moments of rage behind the scenes. But
oh, God. has to.
Now back to Sam Bankman-Fried, because right now we want to talk about his parents. Should they be arrested as well?
Yes.
Okay, there's a quick answer. We can move on. Joseph Bankman and Barbara Fried are professors at Stanford. They were there at his extradition hearing in the Bahamas. In fact, his mother laughed. Did you know why? There was discussion of whether or not he's a flight risk. And she just thought that was preposterous, my son.
Well, she probably would have thought it's preposterous that he's a multi-billion dollar crook.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure he was a coddled, spoiled little brat his whole life, which is why he has no conscience about all the money he stole from people. And usually that comes from the mother.
He got the name Sam Bankman-Fried because his father's Bankman, his mother's Fried.
Yep.
Okay, so that solves that mystery.
Watch the hyphenated people.
They both teach law at Stanford. And according to the faculty biography, Bankman specializes in tax law. He's written two case books on the subject. He's also a clinical psychologist and teaches mental health law.
He was writing tax law recently.
He wrote something for Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, it was a tax bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was, you know, he's writing bills on how to steal money from other people, how the government can steal money from other people. Well, that's not a whole lot different than what Sam Bankman and Fried was doing.
The mother is a professor emeritus of law at Stanford. She also wrote about tax policy, but her scholarly interests lie at the intersection of law, economics, and philosophy. So these are a real couple of ivory tower academics.
What does that mean? Law, economics, and philosophy. What? The intersection. Where is
You'll
that
have
intersection?
Have to read her writings.
The intersection. I'd like to see that on a map, that intersection.
They're standing by their son's side. Now, Bankman-Fried bought a $16.4 million house in the Bahamas for his parents in FTX's name. Now, the father was a paid FTX employee for nearly a year. The mother was not. But clearly, they have been involved closely in their son's actions at FTX.
The father was flying down to the Bahamas once a month. And he acted as a sort of a cheerleader for the organization.
Yes. Like I said, he was an employee for a year.
So he was involved. He knew what was going on. And he used to get involved in the charitable operations, pushing the story that his son wanted to use crypto to help low-income people gain a foothold in financial markets. Oh, that altruistic hooey that they were selling. Effective altruism. Yeah, that was what he was pushing to all the politicians in Washington. On the one hand, he was bribing them with millions of dollars. On the other hand, he says, what I want to do with my money is I want to do good. I want to take all my profits and put it in, you know, to help the underserved, the unhoused, the unbanked.
In fact, the Washington Post reports that the most money that he gave was to something called Protect Our Future PAC, group bankrolled by Bankman-Fried, focused on candidates aligned with effective altruism goals. $27 million was given to that PAC.
Yeah, and that was the cover, because to make them bulletproof in the media. The media, by the way, the financial media and the tech media gave him nothing, performed nothing but sex acts on him.
Everybody wanted to be on the forefront of the next big thing, which was crypto.
Oh, no, he was the cute cover boy. So, you know, he'd show up in his stupid T-shirt and his stupid shorts, and one of his partners today admitted that was an act, because they knew if they showed up in the T-shirt and shorts that investors would think of them as real tech genius nerds, and they'd be impressed. And so that became their uniform to impress people. Now, it used to be suits impressed people, right? But of course, there are plenty of crooks who wear suits. Suits eventually got a bad name. They tried something else. And these stupid venture capitalists go, oh, wow, cool, man. He's wearing shorts and he's wearing a T-shirt. Yeah, cool. I trust him. He's the real deal.
The partner
basically laid out how they were openly manipulating these billionaires to throw billions of dollars at this stupid crypto company that nobody really understands crypto. Really, nobody does. And it's not even explainable.
It's cryptic.
Right. But everybody saw this was the hottest new casino. So bet money now And maybe you'll walk home with even more billions.
One attorney said, I can't imagine a world where Bankman-Fried's parents were not his financial and legal advisors.
Oh, well, listen to this. Listen to this. Bankman and Fried, the parents, their names are on real estate documents for a $16.5 million house in a gated community in Nassau, the capital of the Bahamas. Wow. So there you go. How about that? Oh, no, we didn't know what was going on. You didn't know what was going on, but you got to see, he gave you a $16.5 million house in the Bahamas.
They have a spokesperson who said the couple never intended to and never believed they had any beneficial or economic ownership of the house.
Yeah, that's a lawyer statement there.
That is a lawyer statement. All right, we got more coming up. But by the way, they're still conducting this investigation. It's possible that the parents get pulled into this. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. Well, he ate pork chops and biscuits, and then he died. Mississippi has executed an inmate today by the name of Thomas Loden. It just happened a couple of hours ago. Lethal injection. He'd been on death row since 01 when he pled guilty to capital murder, rape, four counts of sexual battery, and killing a 16-year-old girl.
Best mugshot.
Lisa Marie Gray, yes. That isn't crazy eyes.
Do we have this on the website?
No,
we don't. Oh, we got to put this on there.
It's his picture from the Department of Corrections.
That is Hall of Fame crazy eyes, man. Wow.
He was pronounced dead at 6:12 p.m. Guess what? Before the injection started, he actually said he's deeply remorseful.
Yeah, well, kill him anyway.
For the past 20 years, I've tried to do a good deed every single day to make up for the life I took from this world. If today brings you nothing else, I hope you get peace and closure. Two bone-in fried pork chops, fried okra. We always love the last meal. A baked sweet potato with butter. Pillsbury Grand's biscuits with butter and molasses. Peach cobbler with French vanilla ice cream and Lipton sweet tea. Well, they give you everything. They give you the whole rundown.
Do you know what he did to this poor girl, though, he killed?
Go ahead.
Lisa Marie Gray. She was working as a waitress. She left the job after dark, got stranded with a flat tire. And Loden showed up and started talking to the girl about the flat tire. And he said, don't worry, I'm a Marine. We do this kind of stuff. And then the girl said...
She said she would never want to be a Marine?
Yes, and that got him so mad, he ordered her into the van. He spent 4 hours sexually assaulting her, strangled her, suffocated her. And then threw her on the side of the road with the words, I'm sorry, carved into her chest.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, you die for that. Well, if you look at that mugshot, Dad's crazy there. So
right. Like, if I had a flat tire and I looked up and I saw this guy at my window, I know I'm dead. It's over. This guy's going to kill me and probably eat me.
Meanwhile, shades of Schwarzenegger, the governor of Oregon, Kate Brown, who is leaving office at the end of the year, has commuted 17 death sentences and effectively has ended death row in that state.
She's awful. She had the lowest approval rating in the whole country among governors. And she's the one that allowed Portland to burn and burn and burn for months. There are no laws in Oregon because of her. No criminal laws.
Was she termed out or she just decided not to run?
I think she was termed out.
Oh.
And people are so angry. That's one of the reasons a Republican nearly won.
Nearly won, yeah, I know. It was a three-way race, too. But, yeah, the Republican was considered had a shot.
Yeah, and she's just dreadful because the death penalty is legal in Oregon.
Yeah, they don't kill anybody, though. I don't recall ever doing an Oregon execution desk.
No.
The list included notorious killers, including a father and son who bombed a bank in 2008, citing fears that Barack Obama would take their guns. And a man who murdered his young wife and children and fled to Mexico. Wow.
I mean, she didn't let them out. She just
commuted their sentences to life, I guess, in prison. But here's what we say. You get the death sentence, at least in California, you can't be paroled. But if you get life in prison, even though they say without parole, there are ways.
Well, here's their record. It has been abolished and reinstated three times since the 1800s. Last time reinstated, 1984, and they've had two executions, one in 1996 and one in 1997. So it's been 25 years.
I don't think
the
execution desk is that old.
No. Right. It's before we started tracking these things.
You're right. Only two people have been executed since 1984, the year voters approved a constitutional amendment adopting the death penalty in limited circumstances. They put down a serial killer linked to seven deaths in 1996, and then another guy in 1997 who apparently was convicted of killing his half-sister and former husband. But she says the death penalty is immoral, and that were her reasons for ending it.
You know, I'm going to put the photo of this guy on the office door from
the Mississippi killer?
Yeah. I'm going to put it on the... I bet you nobody comes and bothers me anymore if I put this guy's picture on there.
Because that's who's going to get him?
Yeah.
Coming for you.
To let people know my mood now.
A Marine recruiter who got offended because she said she would never join them. That's his story? That he assaulted her?
That's what triggered him.
That's sick.
Conway's here.
Ding dong, ding dong. All right. Well, we got Sam Bankman Fried. That's his name, right?
Bankman.
Yeah, he's coming back to the United States, I guess. Not into the Bahama jails.
Well, they're not serving him vegan.
Right. And he also he's on a pretty radical antidepressant, MSAM.
Yeah.
And my guess is the doctor is going to need to adjust the dose in the next couple of weeks. Spike it up just a little bit here, Bub, if you don't mind. Then we have really horrible news. Twitch died. He was the DJ for Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, I never heard of
him. I've never seen her show. So.
We don't watch the show.
Because we're on when she's on, was on.
But, I mean, she's like pop culture. You don't need to
watch. Yeah, that's the reason John didn't watch it. It's on because when we're on.
Right. That means I would have never seen
You can
Match.
Record it, John, and see it later tonight.
Yeah.
That means I would have never seen Seinfeld or Friends, but I've seen him.
That's right. He's been on at night for years.
I don't know. She came and went and went right by me there.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, go look at the old shows. It was very good. Federal Reserve raised the interest rate by a half percentage point, right? 0.50. Ooh. I don't know what that means, but I guess we're going to pay more for everything, right?
That's right.
And then the fate of the fame.
Means your bookie's going to charge you more.
I know. It sucks. P22, still undetermined what they're going to do with this guy.
Oh, I thought they're going to put him down.
I think they were. That's tall. They think they probably might put him down. But they also. Look, I know this sounds bizarre, but maybe they should put him down. If they do put him down, stuff him and put him in a museum where people can go see him still.
Oh, jeez. Is that what you do with your pets?
No, but I have a friend up in Oregon, a family friend who does that. He takes, you know, dead cats and owls and and he's
like roadkill or
pets. He stuffs them. What is
he
that called?
He has to be watched. This could be a serial killer.
No.
That's how it starts.
He had since passed away. But
now, did his wife stuff him?
No. But the cats. He always has the cats like in a little ball sleeping, and the dogs sleeping as well. And man, it really
You've
looks
looked
like,
at this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've seen some of them.
The friend of yours.
It would creep me out.
Yeah, yes, a family friend, yes.
Yeah, it didn't strike you as creepy, weird.
No.
Don't want to be left alone with him.
No, you know what? He gave so much pleasure to the people who went to him and said, hey, you know, I love my cat. Can you stuff him and then give him back to
us? So this was a business.
Yeah, what's it called?
Taxidermist.
Taxidermist, right. Yeah, it was a taxidermist. He was an actual taxidermist and one of the best in the state.
I tell you what, if you die before us, we'll stuff you and put you in a chair in the corner of the studio so people can remember your legacy.
Or we'll take you to Santa Anita.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Put him up there in press row.
Robin called today and said, hey, in the last hour of your show, were you stuffed last night? Seems a little off.
All right.
Ding dong.
Ding dong.
What a show.
Come on, man.
Say P22.
And Jay Leno's coming on again, I think. I don't know.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's on with us last night.
Was that right?
Yeah. Talked about the burn incident. It was crazy. When he got burned, he went to the hospital. Then they said, you got to go to the burn center, or else your face is going to fall off. Instead, he's like you. He went home instead and slept in his own bed, and his face was melting in and getting stuck to the pillow. It was falling off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
What is wrong with him?
Was he kidding?
No. So he had to go into the burn center for 10 days.
Oh.
His face was sticky.
I wouldn't do that.
And he just tells the story matter-of-factly, I bet, right?
But you told him very matter-of-factly. You're right, Dan. But that story reminded me of the story you told when you're up in Arrowhead or Big Bear and you're choking on steak. And they had to drag your ass down to San Bernardino, down the hill, choking all the way.
Yes, we almost lost John.
I remember where I was when you told that story. It's a
great story.
It's a great story.
Yeah. Big dog.
You know, we're right. Guys.
Jay Leno, love it. Right.
Guys, sorry, don't go to the hospital.
Sorry, Robin. My fault.
Michael Crozier's
John's
news.
Fault.
KFI, KMSD, HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, Let's live go. Everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.